Thank you, Tanya, so much for getting the setup for that. And I'm so glad that Bethany was able to explain to us about the opportunities and the options, but also the onboarding of this campus. The focus is still going to be on Jesus. That is the whole point of it. But we're just trying to say we're taking the eternal message and we're trying to use it in timely methods. So the methods are always changing. The message never does. Good morning, church. I hope that you are tuned in for the live stream. If you're watching this at a later date, that's cool too, because what I'm about to talk to you about is so timely and it is timeless at the same time. How many times can I use the word time in a sentence? I want to tell you that, I've got a lot of life stories, and I'm not going to tell them all today. I'm going to tell a friend's story, but some stories are just absolutely crazy. You think, if that person hadn't been there, if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't believe this was actually happening. This story, which, by the way, I'm so grateful to Tanya and Bethany when I was looking, what should we do over this online campus Sunday? And they put me on to some messages that I had done many, many years ago. And I got to looking at them like, church, we need this. So thank them for all this. But thank my friend back in, he lives in a town way back east. And it's a metropolitan area, one of the largest areas in the United States right now. And so if you've ever been to like Phoenix, you've been to Dallas, Chicago, you go to these places and they have these major thoroughfares that are going through the town. And we're talking about multi-lane intersections, and there's just so many people, so many cars. So imagine that. My friend has just pulled into a convenience store on a corner of one of these multi-lane intersections. He's pulled into a convenience store and gas station. He pulled up there in his truck, and he's gassing up his truck, and he's watching, you know, just trying to stay aware of what's going on around him. And he sees this guy jogging down the street, you know, toward this convenience store. And what he's got with him is a dog on a leash. This is why I have the leash here. And it's a big old dog. I don't remember exactly what kind it was, but it was a massive dog. And you'll understand why here in a minute. I think maybe it might have been a Rottweiler. But it was jogging along with him. They cross the street. They jog up to the front of this convenience store. And what happens is the guy who was jogging, he takes the dog and he leashes the dog to a bench very much like this one that was bolted to the concrete, to the sidewalk, if you will, out in front of the convenience store. And that's cool. And he leaves the dog out there so that, because I'm going to play the part of the dog right out here. Dog is chained up. Things are going good. The guy who owns him, the master of this dog, goes into this convenience store to get something to drink or something like that. My friend's still watching while he's gassing up his truck. And he said the weirdest thing that happened was as he was watching the dog caught sight of something that was happening out in this multi-lane intersection, and it startled the dog so much that the dog was like sitting near the bench, and just in an instant of time, he gave it every energy he could and he started running for that intersection. And that dog was so massive and it was so much force that it actually pulled the bench out of its bolts to the concrete. And so you've got to imagine this dog is running out there with all of his energy toward this multi-lane intersection with all these cars, and he's dragging this, you know, 40, 50 pound bench behind him, and it's just bouncing everywhere. So you're like, this is crazy in and of itself, but this dog keeps running and dragging this bench behind him. And all of a sudden he gets out there, and my friend said, I thought he was going to run out in traffic. Oh no, the dog is going to get run over. Is he going to get hit? And he said he got right up to where this car was about to turn right. It was an SUV. And he said just about the time the dog got to the SUV that was turning, the dog pulled up short, stopped. He said, but the bench did not stop, and the bench just, the momentum of it slammed into the side of this SUV. That startled the dog as well, but at that point, the dog also looks behind this SUV, and there's a little VW bug that's coming up along that same. He starts charging in the same way toward this other car and goes toward that car with this bench still dragging behind him. And again, my friend's like, he's about to get hit, but no, he pulled up short, and guess what? The bench just slams into the side of this VW, and there is just chaos everywhere. There's parts flying off of cars, and this dog is still chained up to that bench, and this is crazy. And my friend is in shock because the dog's master does come out of the store whenever he hears all the racket, but he sees his dog over there. Convenience store manager comes running out, and they're all headed for the dog. Whole thing is a madhouse, is what my friend had to say. He said he couldn't believe it. And I was like, I hope you are telling me the truth, but either way, my point in telling this story, and I'm going to tell it every single time we get together for this particular series, and that is, oh, you know, you and I, we're a whole lot like that Rottweiler. We get leashed up to people who have hurt us, startled us. We get leashed up to the bitterness that comes from us going, I can't believe you said that about me. I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe you treated me that way. I can't believe you abused me in so many different ways. And so we get leashed up to this bitterness. We get leashed up to so much resentment. We get leashed up to unforgiveness. And we do not realize, but our whole life is like that Rottweiler, and we are dragging those people, these feelings, this unforgiveness, we are dragging it through our lives, and we've stopped short, and guess what? All the stuff that we're dragging behind us slams into the next relationship, it slams into the next job, it slams into our life, and it causes so much collateral damage. This is why whenever I was put back onto this, we need this truth of God in our relationships. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be able to show you from God's word as well as our own experience that we need to get unleashed because it's causing so much collateral damage in our physical and our spiritual well-being. Besides all the fact that what God has set us up to do in our lives is we're supposed to live up to the shape and the potential that he has given us in our life. So this is what I would say. If you're not already there, get some paper, get a pen. If you're not doing it that way, at least pull up the Bible. I mean, the Bible app. Well, pull that up too. But go ahead and pull up the notes in the online platform and take some notes, because here's the deal, and one that you really just need to concentrate on for the next few minutes, and that is, my proposition is unleashing unforgiveness in our life is unnatural. Unleashing unforgiveness in our lives is unnatural. Why? Because we don't like to do it. We don't like to do it for a lot of different reasons, but I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just saying it's unnatural because we like to hold a grudge. You and I, we love to nurse that hurt, because when someone hurts us, my natural response, just like yours, is let's hurt them back. They hurt me at this level, I'm going to hurt them at that level. So for me to stand up here and have the audacity to say to you, you need to unleash unforgiveness that you keep dragging around in your life, that's flying in the face of every instinct that you and I have. Our natural instinct is to do that. And the thing, here's the thing, it's unnatural, and you're going, it's not only unnatural, it's like, I don't even understand what you're saying. Why in the world would I forgive them? Why would I release them? Because I don't want to do that. But I'm asking you to hang with me for just a few minutes while we start to unpack this. We're going to unpack it for the next couple of Sundays, so just lean in. I want you to make this so personal, and that is, if you'll go with me down this analogy, this metaphor, that we're the dog and we're all leashed up to this, I have to ask you, who is sitting on your bench? Is it an ex-spouse? Is it your mom? Is it your dad? Is it an uncle? Is it a coach? Is it your neighbor or that so-called friend that said all those mean, horrible things about you? Is it a sibling? Is it a business partner? Or is it possible that someone who's sitting on your bench is someone who actually doesn't really even know that they hurt you, but you drag it around? Maybe it's somebody that's already died years ago. But you can, in your mind's eye, you can actually see them sitting on your bench. And every time you stop, every time things get quiet, that bench kind of swings into view. It smashes. Every time you stop, they're there. Every time you move, they're there. Why? Because you're leashed up to them. Because you're chained up to these people. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way. Because you know what you're doing. As long as you continue to choose unforgiveness, What you're saying to them is you're saying, you hurt me once, but here, let me, it's as if, here's another metaphor. It's as if you hand them the controls to your Xbox. It's as though you hand them the controls to your PlayStation of your life, and you say, you know what? You hurt me once, but here, let me give you the controls. You just keep on hurting me. It's like they're already at Disneyland, but you're in your backyard turning over the hurt on the rotisserie grill of your mind, and they keep hurting you over and over and over again. And you say, how in the world would you know that? I'm like, I've lived that way before. This is not theory. I've lived that way before, and I hated it. That is no way to live. I don't have time to give you all the details, but for the most part, for 40 years of my life, four decades of my life, I lived pretty much pain-free from other people, which is incredible. I know it's just incredible that I made it that far. But then whenever I was in my early 40s, some people who had committed themselves to me so deeply did things that hurt me so much deeper. And they abandoned the situation and they hurt me and my family. And for about 2 years, 24 months, it just kept going on. And I was leashed up to unforgiveness toward them. And it was miserable. But I will have to tell you, I said many days, if not every single day during those 2 years, I can't believe that he did that. And I'm going to make him pay. I love you with the love of the Lord, but I just wanted to hurt him back so badly. I lived like I'm going to show him. And I found out, because I had to do a whole lot of soul searching during those days. When I searched my soul, in my natural power, there was nothing that was going to change, because it just kept happening over and over and over again. Nothing was ever going to change in my own power. I had to come to an understanding that I had to make a choice to unleash the unforgiveness inside of me, but to do that, I also had to come to a startling revelation, that is, it is so unnatural to do such a thing. But listen to me, and I didn't provide any blanks in your notes, but you can write it on your own notes. Unleashing unforgiveness toward people who have hurt you is not natural, it's supernatural. The only way it ever gets done is you've got to have the superhuman resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. But I'm telling you, and you probably already relate to what I'm saying, is I got so sick and tired. And I mean it. I got sick and I got tired of being sick and tired of all that. And I had to make the actual choice, not just think about it and not just talk about it and not just believe it, but to actually do it. I had to make the choice to actually do what Jesus taught his followers to do. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this isn't a suggestion. You follow, you believe, and you obey, even when you don't think it makes sense. I wrote it down in my notes. I started practicing what he preached. And it made all the difference. That's when the supernatural stuff started happening inside of me. That's when my heart changed. And you know, I'm not the only one who's ever experienced this. You probably have too. But let's just dip into a story that Jesus told. And he told it as recorded by Matthew in the 18th chapter. You can pull out the Bible app and scroll to Matthew 18. Jesus has been talking to his guys, his followers, about what it means to forgive and why you should forgive. And that's when the guy who we would have to say was probably his number one guy in the group of 12, and his name was Simon, and then Jesus gave him the nickname of Peter. So we call him Simon Peter. Simon Peter holds up his hand basically and says, Jesus, I got some questions. And you can tell by the context of his questions, he must have had somebody on his bench as well, because he's speaking from a position of hurt. Anyway, his question was pretty legitimate, and he's asking it just like you and I do, with a whole lot of assumptions attached. I just got to ask you, because, you know, these things don't work unless we actually make them real. Do you have any assumptions about forgiveness? Maybe so. Stick with me and let's find out. Matthew 18, 21. He says to Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? And then he provides his own answer. He says, 7 times? Which, to understand why he's doing that, is that what he'd heard in first century Jewish rabbis teaching, the teaching was, well, you should forgive people 3 times and then cut them loose. And so he knew that Jesus was different. So if most of the regular guys said three times and Jesus is different, he says, well, let me venture a guess. It's seven times, because seven's the perfect number. Because, you know, that means that that person who hurt me, I only have to forgive them four more times, because I've already forgiven them three times. But four more times, and if that guy who messes me up, he's out of here. But see, just like us, Simon was climbing a ladder that was leaning up against the wrong wall. He was asking the wrong question. Because his thinking, and some of you might not understand this because this is the online campus, but his thinking was about as muddy as Lake McPhee here in Cortez, Montezuma County is right now. He was thinking it had to do with repetition whenever Jesus was trying to help him understand it was about redemption. Because Peter, like a lot of us, think that forgiveness is more for the person who has offended. And Jesus was trying to get him to understand something that blows our minds, and that is, the fact is, forgiveness is more for us who have been offended than it is for the people who have hurt us. And you may be going, wait, I'm going to have to rewind that because I don't think I understand what you just said. No, I said it correctly. Forgiveness and the practice of forgiveness is more for those of us who have been offended than those who are actually offending us. You say, well, what does that mean? I mean that when you and I forgive the people who've hurt us, we're getting them off our bench. We don't have to drag them around anymore. They no longer have their hooks in us. They no longer have the PlayStation controller of our life, because Jesus says with his power, we have the power to be free. And I'm saying to you, you need to be unleashed, because if you forgive, it is going to be for good. Anyway, got to get back to the story. Jesus tells the story a little bit more, or tells this story. He said, I need you to imagine that there's this wealthy guy, wealthy king, guy who's got a lot of influence, and he decides that this is the day he needs to settle up some accounts, because somebody that wealthy has been loaning a lot of money, and he's calling all of his accounts, pay up. Today is the day. Show me the money. So the king is in his counting house counting out his money. And he calls this one guy in, this one guy who owes him a whole lot of money. In fact, if you do the conversion rates, this guy owed the king about $10 million. Now, I've been in debt before, never been in debt that much, but I'm saying at that time, this guy could not file for chapter 11 or chapter 13, but the king had the authority according to the law to throw this guy into prison until he somehow paid the debt. In fact, the law would even allow him to, put his whole family into indentured servanthood so that they would pay off his debt for him. So this guy does what any of us would do. What I would do is, like, he hit his knees, it says, and he begs. He's like, please just give me some more time. I just need you to be patient with me, because that's in verse 26. He says, oh, be patient with me. I will pay back everything. Now, like I said, could have locked him up, sold his stuff, could have tortured him, could have put his family into indentured service. But this is where it gets really crazy, is that this king, who has every right to call that loan back, that king does something crazy. And Jesus says in verse 27, he said, listen to my story. He said, then the master of the king was filled with pity for this man who owed him all this. And guess what? He released him and forgave his debt. Now, I don't know about you, but imagine owing $10 million and the guy that you owe it to says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I forgive it. Paid in full. It's done. Don't worry about it. How would you feel? I'm saying to you, I know how I'd feel. I would be dancing around, be saying, sweet release, sweet release. I am free. I am free. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm just telling you, that's what he needed to do. Little thing I want to tell you, though. One of the things that Jesus is showing us in this story is that when somebody's hurt you, when someone says stuff about you, whenever they lie about you, when they take advantage of you, whenever they abuse you, it is like a debt is being created. He wants us to see that. And that's why we start to feel it. They're on our bench. They owe us. You need to pay me. They need to pay me. But keep that in mind. Here's what I think. If I'd been that guy, I'd been a walk around, I would have been a forgiving machine. I would have been a forgiveness machine. You'd think that you'd have enormous amount of forgiveness going on, right? Well, Jesus continues with this story, and he says that shortly after this guy has been forgiven this huge debt, he actually goes out and hunts down a guy who owes him money. And because he goes to this guy, you know how much he owes him? just being generous, how much he owed him is a little less than $2,000. Okay, $10 million versus $2,000. Just keep that in mind. And he says to this guy in no uncertain terms, I want my money. Show me the money. And the other guy does what he did. He gets on his knees and begs him. But no, this guy demands his money. In fact, Jesus said in the story, he even begins to choke this guy. And finally, the guy says, I just can't pay. And the forgiven guy gets the other guy thrown in prison because the law would allow that. And when the king, who should have gotten his $10 million paid back, when the king hears about it, he is not happy. This is where Jesus says in chapter 18, verses 32 through 34, that's when the master called in the servant and he said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And he said, Jesus says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. It's heartbreaking. I mean, we're hearing this story some 2,000 years later, and we hear that story, and we think about how crazy is this guy? How crazy is this situation? The king literally delivered this guy from prison. He wrote off the $10 million debt, and now the same guy has put himself in prison. It's just crazy. Why in the world would he do such a thing? But you know what's even crazier than that? We do the exact same thing, only worse. Many of us who are listening to me today have become Christ followers. We say we need to have our past forgiven. We need a purpose for living. We want a home in heaven. Many of us are Christ followers. We've been set free because Jesus has paid that penalty. We are forgiven. We are debt free. But then we have the audacity to harbor unforgiveness, and we keep people on our bench because it's convenient. We keep people there because we don't know what else to do. We do that because we like to nurse that grudge, and we keep putting ourselves back into the prison of our past. And I'm just telling you, I've experienced this. I've lived like this. That's no way to live. And what's happening in those situations is we're living like we don't even understand what it means to be forgiven, but we're certainly living like we have never applied what it means to be forgiven and to forgive for good. We act like we don't even understand the forgiveness and debt-canceling power of Jesus Christ. Anyway, back in the story, Simon at this point is probably going like I would be. He's like, you know, I'm really sorry I asked this question because because when Jesus says next, I have to say for myself, what he says next is so stout, so strong, so penetrating, it takes my breath away. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 18:35. After he had finished the story, Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Boom. Because if you don't understand what he said, Jesus plainly said, if you and I harbor unforgiveness toward other people, if we stay lashed up, leashed up, chained up, bound up to resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, God's coming after us. Whoa. Can you imagine having people all on your bench, and this is leashed up to you, and you spend your whole life running down a treadmill with all of this weight and all of this bitterness and all of this trailing behind you. Why in the world would we ever live that way? And what in heaven's name keeps us leashed up to that? Here's a couple of reasons. We'll expand on them in the Sundays to come. One of them is self-deception. Self-deception is a barrier. Because it's tough work to actually do the work to get people off of our bench. It's tough work, and we don't want to do it, so we rationalize. And you know what it means to rationalize? It means that you tell yourself rational lies. You lie to yourself whenever you say, you know what my mom did to me, what my uncle did to me, what my friend said about me, how that played out. It's not really that big a deal. It didn't really affect me. Besides, you know, it's all bygones be bygones. I've swept it under the rug, out of sight, out of mind. Oh, really? then why are you still thinking about it? Forgiveness and unforgiveness is something you've got to deal with, but hey, we lie to ourselves and then we believe the lies. Another reason we stay chained up is a self-defense barrier, and I've already referred to that just a little bit. I think this is our favorite one. It's like ammunition. You need to have plenty of it. And since you messed me up, since you messed me around, since you hurt me, man, I got ammunition. I need to defend myself, and I'm going to keep you on my bench because that way I'm going to have you right close by so I can get you back. Now see, I told you, this is not theory. This is not theory. I've lived this stuff, sad to say. Like I told you, some 20 years ago. Heck, 2 years ago. I can't tell you how many times, after all that was said about me and the things people did to me, how many times that I said and had to fight against, I'm going to get those people back. I am going to get that guy back. I'm going to get those girls back. I am going to make them pay. You've done the same thing. I know you have. Because to unleash unforgiveness, to unleash this, it's so unnatural. But I'll say it again so that it can sink in just a little bit deeper. To actually give forgiveness to people who have hurt us, it's unnatural. It's not that. It's supernatural. It's something only God can do. Because so many times we're like Peter. We think it's a matter of frequency. Oh, they hurt me again. I'll have to forgive them. No, what I've found is even after the wound has been, you know, people have wounded me, I have to keep forgiving because it's not just a matter of frequency. Because Jesus said forgiveness is a matter of faith. It's believing what God says because it's believing what God did. When we say to someone who is on our bench, your debt, you know, the debt that you owe me, it's canceled. I forgive you. I release you. What we're saying is, okay, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give this situation to you because you're the ultimate judge. In the end, this is going to be taken care of. It's going to be taken care of by me or by you. And I'm saying, God, I trust you that you can take care of it better than I can. So God, I trust you. I have to keep saying that. But what in the world would make me think, what in the world would make you think that you could actually trust God like that? Think about it. We can trust him because of the enormous debt that we owed God. Because he's God and we're not. We are his creation. We are answerable to him. He said life needs to be this way. We said we're going to take it that way. Whenever we said we're going to try and we don't make the mark, whenever we miss the mark, we've sinned. We're full of iniquity. We're full of transgressions. There's issues of betrayal and self-centeredness and just plain old rebellion. He said, that is an enormous debt that you owe me, but I will pay for it. I will take care of it. And he did. And he did it not just with words. He did it with the literal blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we must never, ever lose sight of that. That's why the old song, Jesus paid it all to him I owe, is still so, so true. And let me tell you something that I've learned and how to keep this in balance. Because it's not about feeling badly about yourself. It's about realizing he has forgiven me so much. But listen, you will never have to forgive anyone else more than God has already forgiven you. Ever. And Jesus was driving that home. So I'm just telling us all, don't be like that guy. Don't be like this guy. You know what the difference was? The difference that in his life that Jesus was talking about was the difference only amounted to about 18 inches. He had it in his head. He didn't have it in his heart. It's only about 18 inches from the top of your head to your heart. It can make all the difference. But if you ever get it from your head to your heart, you will never be the same. Anyway, let's get back to Simon Peter. Simon Peter asked a very valid question. How many times must we forgive? And here's the answer that Jesus gave him through the story and also just straight up. And I hope, even with this simple illustration that we're going to carry on during this whole series, I hope now you can actually feel the huge impact. I want you to experience the impact. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying, not just in the words and the beliefs, but actually in the way that we live. This is the answer that Jesus gave to Peter and to us. And Jesus said in verse 22, he said, "No, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven." Because of the language difference and the way it's been translated, what Jesus was saying could also be translated as 70 times 77. The point being, it's not a math equation, y'all. If you take it just at face value, you don't get to forgive people 490 times and then 491, boom, you're out of there. That is not what he was saying. He was telling Simon, he was telling us, this isn't a math problem. I need you, Jesus says, I need you to live a life where you just keep on forgiving. It's a habit, it's a lifestyle. Because it's who you are, not just what you do. Because the fact is that if we understand this metaphor, because we have been unleashed, it is time for us to take God's power and we unleash other people. It's so easy to talk about, but we need to take it home. I can just hear Jesus saying in the parts that Matthew didn't record. I think he probably said, "Peter, listen, look at me. You remember what I taught you? Remember that whole time? I went through it so many times when I taught you how to pray. Remember how it starts, everyone? Our Father in heaven." Yeah, okay, so they all start saying it, remember? And he says, "You remember that middle part? Remember what I said? This is your guide for how you pray. What does the middle part say?" He said, "Forgive us our debts." What? "As we forgive our debtors." That little bitty word, in English, two letters, "as." It all hinges on that. Jesus says, "You know what? Listen to me. When I told you guys that, when I told you how to pray, when I told you those things and what I'm telling you now, I'm not kidding. I don't just make up stuff so I can hear the sound of my own voice. I'm not just making up stuff that sounds interesting. I mean it. And I'm going to keep on teaching you all these things, these very, very practical, basic, but very powerful things. I'm going to keep on teaching you until you get it." And apparently they did, because they passed it on to us. And I'm so grateful that they did. But now here we are, 2023. And I know good and well, you got people on your bench. And we're getting the same lesson because we need it just as badly as they did. So, some of you are going, "Well, David, you do not know the particulars and you do not realize what those people did to me. You don't realize what my dad did to me. You don't realize how my mom abandoned me. You don't know what my uncle did to me or my friend said about me. You don't know what my business partner took advantage of." I know, you're saying that to me. And you're telling, I can hear you saying to me, "You know what, if I were to get them off my bench, if I were to forgive them, that would be minimizing what they did to me." And I would have to tell you, and I've tried to make it plain, I'm not speaking out of theory, I'm speaking out of experience. I get it. I don't know. I don't know what they did to you. And you know what? You don't know the particulars of what people have done to me. But I can say with certainty, God knows. He knows what happened to you. He knows what happened to me. He knows and he cares. And listen to me, don't lose me. And that same God tells you that just like he canceled the debt that stood against us, he says, "I need you to trust me on this." That same God says you need to cancel that debt and you need to forgive them and you need to get them off of your bench. Because listen to me, when you forgive them, that does not mean that you are minimizing what they did. It's still wrong what they did to you. It still hurts. It still leaves scars. Don't get these things confused, and we're going to unpack it some more as this series goes on. What happens when you forgive them is you are freeing yourself up. You are freeing yourself up. You are unleashed. They no longer have their hooks in you. And I'll tell you this, and this is why I called the subtitle, you need to forgive for good. When we forgive, we're giving ourselves a gift. And it's a gift literally that money cannot buy. Because when you and I forgive, it is for the good. It is a very good gift that we get that helps us, that blesses us. And just like God did for us, when we forgive others, we're giving them room to change, and it has the potential to be good for them too. And we'll talk about that some more in the series. So it comes down to this. It comes down to, there's the leash, there's the bench. Who's on your bench? What are we going to do about what Jesus said to us? If God is, in this story, the master and the king, and he is, and if we, in this story, we're the servant that has been greatly forgiven, if that's you and me, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Because this whole thing is so difficult and is so unnatural because we like to hold on to it. God says to us, would you trust me? I want you. By my power and grace, he says, I want you to do something that flies in the face of everything that you feel and everything that you think and everything that you want to do naturally. I want you to do something supernatural by my power. So, are you going to keep chaining yourself up to resentment and forgiveness? Or are you going to actually say to God, God, give me the power to unleash my unforgiveness, and please show me how to live a life that is literally unleashed. Now, got to wrap this up. Some of you are still stuck on the fact, and I hope you heard the rest of it, but I'm saying some of you are still, you're going, you know, you kind of left me hanging with the whole dog story. What happened to the dog? Did the dog get hit? Is the dog okay? What happened to the dog? And I would say to you, yes, I did leave you hanging. I did that. I left you hanging. I'm going to leave you that way till next Sunday. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you how it went. My friend said, I watched as all this started unfolding, and the dog's master, like I told you earlier, the dog's master ran out, and when that Rottweiler or whatever kind of, you know, fierce dog it was, whenever he turned back and saw his master, it was amazing. As dogs and their masters do, that dog just calmed right down. And whatever was bothering him, he settled down. And that's whenever the master of that dog went over and he grabbed a hold of that leash and he unleashed it from that bench. And then the convenience store guy took that battered bent bench, picked it up, threw it in the dumpster, and the master led that Rottweiler, that dog, led him to safety. Oh man, some things just preach themselves. But I do have to say, because my mind just goes weird places, I just wonder what all those people told their insurance companies. I don't know. I want you to remember the picture of this bench. I want you to remember the damage that was done in this story. I want you to remember the leash, and we're going to talk about it some more. That's going to be here for this whole series. I want you to ask God to bring to mind all the names and the faces and the situations that you've been holding on to. And then I want you to humbly ask God, God, would you please start doing something supernatural inside of me? Because y'all, this, especially during our time, if we swim upstream in a downstream world with this, if we do this, it's going to change everything, and we can do it right now. In fact, my last thing is, would everybody who's listening to me, whether live or by Memorex, would you make a fist and hold it out in front of you just like that? Because what I want you to understand is I need you to see that that represents all the bitterness and the animosity and the anger and the resentment and the unforgiveness that you have been holding on to. Because if you hold in that tight grip with that fist, I want you to think about the word forgive means to release. It means to actually toss it away. And at the same time, resentment, it means to feel it again. You have a choice. And without a doubt, the stronger of these urges that we have inside of us is to feel it again and to feel it again and to feel it again. And we rehearse it over and over and over, the pain. All the pain and hurt that people have heaped on you, it's easy to rehearse that. But beyond any doubt, and I have experienced it, I've been to the mountain and I've seen the other side. Beyond any doubt, the better choice is to release those people and to literally give them forgiveness, because God has forgiven you and unleashed you and set you free. So in my notes, what I put here is, right now, with your fist, let's all just release it. Let it be a physical sign to yourself, to God. Just unclench that fist of unforgiveness and say, God, I forgive them. I release them. I cancel the debt that they owe me. And you can keep on praying and say, God, I'm not minimizing. I'm not pretending that it didn't happen. It really happened. It really hurt. There are really scars. I'm not minimizing what happened, but I am doing what you want me to do. I'm forgiving them for good. And I'm going to keep on practicing it until I really am forgiving them for good. And I want this to be good. I want there to be good work in my life, because I've allowed you in to do a good work even in this place. But I'm also praying, God, would you do a good work in their life too? As I open my hand to you today, and this is my prayer for all of us, Lord, as I open my hand to you today, and then I open it again tomorrow, because the tendency is I'm going to want to clench that and hold on to it again. Lord, as I open up my life, my hand, today and tomorrow, however long it takes, I'm asking you, God, to do something so amazing, so supernatural, something only you can do, that my life is so different that other people see that and they see you in me. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, in these moments, as people give consideration to this, either by themselves while they're watching, or maybe, just maybe, they have friends around, God, would you stir up some wonderful, wonderful conversations about this truth, about this very difficult truth, this very powerful, life-transforming, literally society-transforming principle. Thank you, God, for the ultimate forgiveness that you have given us, a past forgiven purpose for living home in heaven. Would you help us to just keep on doing it, and make it a lifestyle that we will never regret. Thank you for unleashing me, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I look forward to being able to spend some more time with you, either in person or online, but thank you so much for coming to join us today. I look forward to seeing you next time.